Well, Roosters fans, welcome to this week's episode of Roosters Radio. For those out there, last Thursday night, Paddy, well, we didn't get the chocolates. 18-12 against a Melbourne side that just keeps finding a way to win and finding a way to break Roosters' hearts. It's a bit of a record now, but it's something that we're going to put behind us and prep for this week against the Dragons in what is the greatest day in our nation's history. We all get behind Anzac Day. We all know what a great spectacle it is, and we are looking forward to it and salivating because we know we're going to get the win this week. Welcome to Roosters Radio. Silky, injured. Bells, injured. And straight off the bench, as he always is, the dynamic Paddy Clifton. Paddy, welcome. Paddy, the producer.
Thanks, Bush. Good to be here. First call up for the year.
Love it, mate. You've done some great jobs over the time, plugging some holes on Roosters Radio and adding some great value and critique to this little podcast. Paddy, what'd you think on Thursday night?
I don't want to focus too much on it. I think our effort areas were there, but I think we just lacked at times with a bit of direction on the field. So I wouldn't overthink it too much. I'm not too worried about it. I'm looking forward to Anzac Day. And like we always say, all form goes out the window. So it doesn't matter how both teams played last week. It's game on come Anzac Day.
Yeah, and I think if we reflect on last Thursday, our defence was amazing, our line defence. Yeah, there were some lapses. Yes, we didn't get the result we wanted, but there's so many positives that come out of the game. I think Brandon Smith's playing at the top of his skin. We're going to interview today the great Connor Watson, who I just love how he's playing. You know, he played really, really sharp, really dynamic. He brings so much energy and speed to the side. We're going to talk to Connor about that. So looking forward to have him as a guest. But I think the lessons from last week, the boys can take into this week and take away the 2 points.
Absolutely. 100% agree with you, Bush. A few notable mentions from the fans. We put up the Nicky P Awards. Rad's taken home with 3. I think this is the best he's played since those 18-19 seasons for me. We got Angus Crichton, who's absolutely been killing it with 2 points, and that great man, the Cheese, on 1. So make sure you head on to our Facebook and Instagram and vote each week for those Nicky P Awards.
Yeah, obviously awards in honour of Nick Politis, the great chairman of our club, and some would say the greatest Rooster ever, and I would agree with that. Paddy, coming right up after this break, we've got a great interview with one of our Roosters fan favourites. He's a club favourite and he's a personal favourite, Connor Watson.
Well, you're on Roosters Radio and we'll be back right after this.
Well, Roosters fans, he needs no introduction, but he's getting one anyway. Paddy, he's a former Rooster. He went away for a little while and we hated it, but he is a proud Indigenous Australian man. He debuted in round 7, 2016 against the Panthers. He's been out for 555 days of football. Thank God he is back. He's dynamic, he's energetic, he's versatile. Team, coach and fan favourite. As I said, no need for introduction, Paddy. Please welcome to Roosters Radio this week our special guest, Connor Watson. Connor, welcome.
Hey, lads. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the intro, too.
Well, mate, we've...
Made me sound pretty good.
Yeah, we've been talking to you since 2016, and, mate, you were coming through the 20s. You were too good for that and made your debut in first grade, and you've been a huge supporter of our show. And likewise, mate, you know, the fans join with us, big supporters of you.
I was just going to say the professionalism in he's gone up a bit too since 2016. So
yeah, since I arrived, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Silky used to chase chickens before the warm up, like a couple of steggles, and then obviously they'd cook them out the back. But yeah, it's changed a bit.
Now, you left the Roosters in 2018, Connor, and you came back in 2022. You obviously spent some time in Newcastle, and I think you had the chance to extend there, but you chose to come back to the East. What was your mindset behind that?
Yeah, I enjoyed my time up in Newcastle. You know, I was a Knights fan growing up, so it was good to be able to play for them. But when I was sort of going through the negotiation process and coming off contract, and I initially was going to stay in Newcastle, and that was sort of the plan. But at the time, I was representing myself, and yeah, the sort of negotiations with Newcastle didn't get to where I wanted. And I don't know if that was because I didn't have a manager at the time. So they just probably thought, you know, like we'll just get it done for whatever. So, and then that sort of caused me to, you know, end up having a look around. And my first point of call was to call Robbo and, you know, just to sort of talk it through. And I remember when I left, Nick had always said to me, like, you know, we'll get you back one day. That was like one of the things he said to me back in 2017. So that was probably always on my mind. And I had an offer to go over to England and sort of rang Robbo to speak to him about that and see what he thought. And yeah, we had a good chat for an hour or whatever it was, and just going through everything. And, you know, he just sort of said at the end of it, like, I haven't said all these things just for, you know, to sort of blow smoke up your heart, or like I would love to get you back if we could work it out. So went from there, and then funny how it worked out. Like, we ended up being in the bubble, because that was when the bubble happened. So this is pre-bubble. That just started sort of talking, and then ended up in the bubble, and like was talking to obviously still to stay at Newcastle, and then also having the chats with the Roosters at the same time. So it was a weird environment to be in, you know, when you're living with all the Knights boys, and then you'd see the Roosters boys across the hall, and you're like, no one
see
really
you soon.
Knew. Yeah. And just trying to like navigate sort of through that. But yeah, I think, you know, I love this club and have always loved the Roosters as soon as I set foot here. And, you know, I'm so glad to be back. And yeah, it's been a sort of a weird couple of years, you know, like obviously the knee injury last year was weird, and not playing, you know, a minute last year was just like so different. And I'm just glad that the club showed faith in me, and we got the deal done at the end of the year, you know, because I didn't want to leave the Roosters. So.
Yeah, I think you evoked a couple of questions, you know, there, Connor. Firstly, what's so interesting is we all expected you to this big injury at training and stuff, and we don't want to focus on the injury and the negative side of it. The positives that have come out of it is, you know, what are the lessons that you've learnt from your time away? Like, yes, you got injured, you were surfing, and it was a pretty horrific injury. I remember assisting you from the stairs. I'm thinking, God, if people are looking and I'm assisting Connor Watson, it's good for my resume. But you were on crutches with, you know, just post-operation. What did you learn from that rehab period about yourself and about the team and about your love of football?
Yeah, I think so much. I probably learnt, firstly, that I'm impatient. You know, I was very reliant on, you know, my mum and my partner for probably 8 weeks there, like just trying to, longer, but 8 weeks, 6 weeks of them, you know, like me being in a wheelchair and them having to get me into it and get me out of it. So that was interesting. And I'm so glad and very lucky to have both of those two in my corner and sort of everyone who helped me out throughout the whole process. 'Cause, you know, it took a few people to, like, it wasn't, yeah, I wouldn't have been able to do it just by myself. So I'm glad I had those guys to navigate it. But I think the time away from the game probably made me realize how much I love it. Yeah, you can get caught up in the day to day of this, you know, of this career and the job, and just week to week, and not thinking too far ahead or looking too far back. And it just gave me a bit of time, like a bit of perspective. And because I've had a couple like sort of long-term injuries, had the Achilles a couple of years ago, had this one, and you know, you sort of wonder like, yeah, do I want to play? Like, and then I think just having the time away from it, or it's more like a frustration of, why is my body like doing this? You know, I want to be out there and playing. And you get the time away, and then you sort of think about it. And there was we did a task in here last year with Valan, who works with the team, and it was about, you know, you had to like bring a picture in of resilience, or like an object of resilience. And for me, I was back home at mum's, and I found like an old jersey from when I was a kid. It was like the first rep team I ever made.
Yeah.
And then that just like, you know, then that activity made me sort of think back to, why do I play? You know, it's like to enjoy it, have fun with my mates and compete. And yeah, I want to make the most out of my career. And that was like a big, yeah, sort of turning point for my mindset as far as, okay, let's attack this injury and but then, you know, I had a lot of setbacks with the injury as well, which was frustrating. Yeah, so then it was like, at a point, you know, my knee wasn't getting better, or it was just getting sore every time I would train and try and do weights, and trying to get back to play at the end of last year was the plan, you know, to get back for the finals. And then when that wasn't going to happen, you know, then there's more sorts of thoughts. So it was just like, it was a big up and down roller coaster. But yeah, I think, you know, having my family helped, and then just, you know, some different interests away from footy sort of helped level me, and, you know, helps you get out of your head of like being, you know, all your self-worth being reliant on you playing. Yeah.
And then when that opportunity comes, I think it was over 550 days since you'd played an NRL game, and you probably couldn't have scripted it better against a rival South. You cross over for a trial on, but just take us into your mindset before you run out there. Like, obviously you're nervous, but is it excitement of just, here we go, or are you doubting yourself? What's it like?
I think for that game, it was more excitement. Probably for the trial against Manly, like the first time I'd actually played again, was a little bit more nervousness about like the knee and, you know, testing it out for the first time. But I think the way we also trained in the preseason, like we're doing pretty hard scrimmage days where it was essentially, you know, a game, like 13 on 13 against each other at training where it was full tackle. So I'd sort of tested the knee out. But when it come to that South game, I mean, I was just more stoked to be a part of Jared's 300th. Yeah, that was, you know, Gus and I had spoken about it because we played cup together the week before and we're like, let's try and like have a mad game today and get picked next week for Jared's 300th. And then we were sort of both able to do that, which was awesome. And yeah, it's just been so good to be back out there. And but even, you know, I've spoken about it before, like playing cup for the first couple of weeks was like so fun as well. And it was just because I was playing footy again. Yeah, just to be back out there, like as disappointing as it was to not play in that game over in Vegas and then to play, you know, round two against Manly. Yeah, to be able to just come back and play cup and just to like really enjoy footy and just enjoy being out there was good. So I loved it too.
You know, you're traditionally, you know, half, 6 or 7, you can play fullback. You've been played at 9, you play at 13. You are so versatile, coach's dream. And, you know, you've plugged so many holes. I was saying to Paddy off air, I asked him if he'd seen Pulp Fiction. He said, oh, not yet. And I said, well, it's a character called Winston Wolfe. When everyone gets in trouble, he's a Mr. Fix-It. I think it'd be fair from a fan's perspective to call you our Winston Wolfe, because if we've got a hole to plug, you know, when in doubt, bring Connor out. And you're playing on that 14 sometimes, in that 14 jersey. Where's your preferred position? Where do you feel most comfortable at this stage of your career? Because we saw you go up to Newcastle and play amazingly at lock. So at the Roosters, it's such a great problem to have because we've got a Connor and we love it.
Yeah. I think, you know, we're probably blessed in this squad at the moment to have a few guys that can play like multiple positions. You got Sandon as well, who can play in the halves and hooker and fullback. And then, you know, guys like Joey can go and play, Joey Manu, Joey Sue, like they can all play in all the positions in the outside back. So, you know, I think in today's game, it's super important to have guys that can cover multiple positions, and it's probably becoming more common. Like, I reckon if you went back 10 years ago, you know, you'd sort of have one utility, but that was it. But nowadays you look at teams and there's guys that can sort of move around in all different positions. And I think that's just because, you know, the game's getting faster. So it means that you can sort of move in between positions a little bit easier, especially when you're a little bit smaller. Because like back, say, 10 years ago, like, you know, there was sort of – you couldn't play in the middle if you were my size because you were sort of too small. So, yeah, but I think for me personally, I actually like 13. Yeah, I think the freedom of it to just sort of attack and run the ball, play your eyes, and then defend in the middle is good as well. So that's something that early on in my career I probably didn't think of. I would say, you know, like defending on the edge. And then, you know, when I first started playing first grade, I was playing a bit of 9 with, you know, helping Nuggy out there. And yes, that was the first time really in my career that I defended in the middle. So and then, yeah, just over time, you know, more reps and getting better at that. And it's something that I actually really enjoy, although it is hard work. It's super tiring in the middle, but then again, like, you know, playing at 6 for the last couple of weeks has been enjoyable as well. And yeah,
when we previously interviewed you, I think one of the catalysts, you know, Paddy asked at the beginning about the decision to come back from Newcastle, but I think you rightfully said it just then. You and Robbo had agreed the game had changed, the rules had changed, the game was a bit quicker. So you all of a sudden become the ideal middle, if you will, because of the way you play dynamic. Would you agree with that statement?
I don't know if I'd go as far as saying the ideal middle. I'll probably say that, you know, you need to have big guys still. Because you need to lay the platform. You need to have enforcers as well to like set the tone. So that's why it's awesome playing with guys. Yeah. Jazza and, you know, Linz. But yeah, it definitely has changed a bit, I think, to have, you know, a link man, someone who can sort of play a bit more and be able to get the ball to the edges as well. So, and Radda does a great job of that as well. He's awesome at that. But Radda's also, I think, this year, like, his running game's gone to another level.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So composed.
I think he's a bit thicker or,
I reckon.
The dad bod.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of having the baby, and I think he's actually trying out to be the next English captain. So I think there's two things going on there. He's got a few things going on.
You speak of Jared Rhee Hargraves and Joey Manu earlier, two great players who depart the club at the end of the year. What's it like running out alongside them?
Yeah, it's awesome. I've been very lucky to play with Joey since we were in the SG Ball together back in 2014. Yeah. Wow. And then we lived together as well, like in the La Perouse house for a couple of years. So, that was good times. Yeah. So I've always, been really tight with Joey, and it's good to see like just how his career trajectory has been amazing, and he's deserved, you know, everything that he's got, and now he's got a good opportunity to go overseas and you know, help sort of, he's got a family now, so he's got to do what's best for them, which is yeah, it's good for Joe and Jazza, you know, like, just, yeah,
you can ask no more, can you?
What a legend. Yeah, he's one of the scariest and nicest dudes at the same time. Like, there's so many, it's hilarious when, just say like my friends or family would come to games and they would meet him, and, you know, people who aren't sort of Roosters fans would have a preconceived idea of him.
He plays.
Yeah. Thinking that he's, like, he's a bit of an asshole or whatever. But then every person that meets him is just like, I cannot believe how nice Jared.
And genuine.
And yeah, exactly. And he just like, you know, is really interested in them and talking to them. And yeah, everyone who's met him has said the same thing to me. And yeah, he's awesome. And he's just been such a good person to be around and play football with. And I think just the way, you know, he leads by example and what he puts himself through mentally, physically, every day, the way he trains, like, and he's done it for nearly 20 years. So it's been a hell of a career. So hopefully we can, you know, make this year very special for both of them too.
Yeah, I think too, on Jared, we've asked everyone that's come in and everyone's got the same feedback, and it's amazing. But what's going to be really nice is, as a club, you know, we've got the likes of, you know, it started with Luke Ricketson breaking Kevin Hastings' record, then it moves to Minnie breaking Rico's record, Orbo breaks Minnie's record. Now Jared is in good stead to break Orbo's record. So just as a testament to the culture and the love of each other and the players that everyone's built, you know, and the respect, and he deserves every bit of that.
Yeah, for sure. And because it's so easy nowadays to like sort of move and change clubs, and for guys to stay at one place and to play that many games is, yeah, it's incredible. And he wouldn't be far off for Orbo, wouldn't he? A couple games?
He's about four or five games.
Yeah,
we're hoping to have him in. He's not huge on the media, Jared, but he did promise. He said, mate, I'll come in when I retire and hit a milestone, which is great. And I love that he's up front about that, you know. So
it's pretty funny because back in the early days, he used to love it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when he had the dyed blonde hair and that.
Yeah, the blonde tips.
Yeah.
I think the media career went when the tips went. You know? we got in just afterwards. Mate, what do you think we'll miss most about, you know, these two legends? You know, when they go, you know, and I don't just mean on the field. I mean, we all know on the field what we're going to miss, but what about off the field?
Yeah, I think, you know, just the great people, great teammates to have in the locker room. And yeah, you spoke about the way they play, you know, we're definitely going to miss that. But I think just the way they train too. And yeah, Jared, like, sort of sets the standard, you know, he sets the standard every day, and we'll definitely miss that. And yeah, and then obviously just miss Joey. And yeah, it'll be different because we're, you know, losing Sue as well, and sort of those guys bring a lot of the energy every day. So yeah,
I suppose we can't anoint an apprentice because we've got Lindsay doing such a good job as a fellow leader and a fellow enforcer, State of Origin player, Kangaroo player, leads from the front. Who do you ordain as, you know, the next Hargraves and waiting out of our great talented squad? There's some really solid people coming through in our forward pack. Who do you think will be the next Jared?
Well, I think, you know, Lindsay, you spoke about that, but I reckon Spence as well, the way he plays, the aggression he plays with. So, yeah, I definitely think he's one there. And then there's you know, a lot of young guys that are doing a great job for us as well. Fahu's absolutely killing it.
I was going to ask you, Farah just seems untackleable. He just keeps moving those legs. And
he's
just
a brick, man.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, like.
And every game, it's consistent. So what's that like to watch and play behind?
Nah, it's cool because we saw it, you know, we've seen it for the last couple of years. And then his preseason this year was awesome. And that's sort of, he trained himself into, you know, that bench spot there. And then just to see him, you know, get that into the games as well has been epic. But like, because everyone's seen that, it's just sort of, you know, for him to get some consistent time in first grade and to be able to show that, and then Team A as well, like, he's a freak. That dude is so good.
And
so,
got offloads and got all the skills, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just never looks tired too. So, yeah, we've definitely got some. And like Siwar as well. I know he's back playing cup at the moment. But, yeah, he's another good one. And, you know, he's only young. He's got a lot of time. So
great problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you want to have these competition for spots. Like you want, yeah, you want to sort of – you want to have to come in here every day and turn up and train well.
And perform.
Yeah, and perform, because, yeah, you don't want to get complacent. Things move quickly in rugby league, so you need to make sure that you're turning up every day and getting ready to work.
Taking a step away from footy, I know you like to get down to icebergs in Bondi, but what do you do to relax and unwind on your days off?
Yeah, go there a little bit, which is pretty epic. So I do see Silk down there. I don't know if I've seen you down there.
No, you won't see me. You'll see me at the stadium, Paul. Silky's enough down there, mate. I can't have two of us. They won't let us in at the same time.
Yeah.
Although we are locals, we're down there a lot as kids, and I do get down the Bergs, but late in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's good. I go down there, just like to chill, sort of get down to the beach. I grew up at Avoca, so, you know, beach has been part
amazing
of my
part of the world, isn't it?
My life forever, and yeah, so I definitely couldn't live too far from that. And then just, you know, I've been doing a fair bit with the charity, so that was one of the good things that come out of the injury last year. You know, was I was able to get hands on with the Culture Choice Association.
Well, I know, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah,
actually our next question. So
I think
thanks for asking it.
you guys would have seen, like, we've done the Boots for Brighter Futures with the Roosters, sort of done it with the Knights. We've got the Bulldogs on board this year, some guys from the Storm and some of the Manly boys as well. So, yeah, that started back in 2018, and it's to assist in the prevention of Indigenous youth suicide and its related causes here in Australia. And that's because my family lost our little cousin back in 2017. So that would sort of hit home pretty hard, and we wanted to try and make a change. So, yeah, we just sort of the program – that has developed out of it, the Boots one.
It's amazing. Some of the designs, the art on the boots is just amazing.
Yeah, some of the students are so talented. So that just, like, evolved, you know, one thing, like, it was I got my pair of boots painted, and then it turned into Aiden wanting his, and then, you know, we ended up getting 20 of the Knights players when I was up there, and then other teams have come on board, and, yeah, it's been really epic to be a part of. But yeah, the timing of having that injury last year and then to be able to actually get really hands-on with it has probably allowed it to grow a bit more, because it's been all volunteer until that point. So all the board members, there's 9 of us, and they're all got full-time jobs, and there's only so much you can sort of, you know, commit to it. And then, you know, now we've been able to put on a couple staff members and got some more facilitators, which is cool. So hopefully over the next couple of years, we can get some sort of more funding, because that's, you know, where the issues lie with sort of small charities like this. And then that'll give us the ability to grow and to make more impact in communities, because that's what we were hoping to do.
As fans of Connor Watson and supporters of youth suicide, I know it's so close to Pat's heart with, you know, foundations, things you've worked for, and you're just doing an amazing job. And as Roosters fans, how do we support the association? How do we get behind it? What can we do to make a difference?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we have the Boots for Brighter Futures, where we do auction all the boots off. And, you know, some people might not be able to afford that, and that's, like, fair enough, because they can go for a couple hundred dollars, whatever it is. And, you know, we understand that times are tough at the moment, but we're a DGR status, which is donation gift recipient. So essentially, if you make a donation over $2 to the charity, it's tax deductible. So if people out there are looking to make any donations to get some tax deductions, you can go onto our website. It's ccai.org.au. And then we've also got, like, a wellness journal that we've got out on the website, which is, I can't remember how much it is, $30. It's like 100 days of wellness. So we give it to all of the kids that participate in our programs. And it's just, like, goes through, I think it's 10 stages, 10 sort of days of similar questions. And I was actually, you know, having the time to develop that last year as well, like help. So, you know, it starts with just questions of like, what are you grateful for? What challenges have you faced, and sort of develops and gets a little bit deeper and deeper throughout the thing. So all of the students get that, but we're selling them on the website as well. And hopefully in the future, we'll do some merchandise as well. So there's yeah. And I mean, just whether it's a follow and a like or a share, whatever it is, like that's enough. So
I think everyone understands how important it is and the message you're getting. And I think the painting of the boots, you know, like you said, you can make a $2 donation or you can bid $200 or $2,000 for a pair of boots, and everyone's in a different position. So what I love is that everyone's got an opportunity, A, to support you because you're a fan favourite, B, Roosters fans want to jump behind all those sort of causes. And I think, you know, it's really important as a community. We've all seen in the last couple of weeks how important it is as a community that we stand together. So, mate, we honestly really are behind that. And
thank you, mate.
We'll make sure the fans are out there and we'll get the message out as well. And, Paddy, we know it's close to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put the website into the show notes and we'll get it out there.
Yeah, cool.
Now let's take a look to Thursday, probably the biggest day on the regular round calendar, Anzac Day. For a fan, I just remember going there every year as a kid. The helicopters come down, the skydivers come in. What's it like from a player's perspective?
Yeah, I only got to play in one, to be honest. So back in 2016, in my first year. Yeah. So I haven't played in one since because last year had the knee, year before was when I had the throat. Yeah. So I've missed it, yeah, which is...
Well, how did it feel in 16 and what are you expecting this week?
Like, it was amazing, yeah. Like, I loved it, and that's why the last couple of years have been that jealous, sitting there watching the boys. And, yeah, I'm so excited to play in it. You know, it's such a great occasion, and it's a great honour to be able to play on Anzac Day, you know.
Connor, what does Anzac Day mean to you? It means so many different things to different families in Australia, and I think it's a day that galvanises us, you know, above football, above everything else. And then we have this great spectacle that we come out and watch two teams, you know, go at it. What does it mean to Connor Watson?
Yeah, I think it's just it's a day of respect and honour. You know, these people fought for us and for us to have this beautiful country. And, yeah, like I said, it's an absolute honour to be able to play on this day and, you know, in a way represent those people. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I've got a sort of good crew of family and friends coming down. And, yeah, you know, it's just – yeah, it's such a spectacular occasion to be part of. So, and the day means a lot to so many people. So, yeah, it's epic.
What can we expect from the Dragons? They've had a really big turnaround, I think, under a new coach. He's done a spectacular job. We always have great games against them, and it's often said it doesn't matter what the form sheet says, throw it out, because these two teams are going to come at each other like an Origin or a grand final. Would you expect that?
Yeah, definitely. I think they're playing good, tough footy at the moment. So, and that's what, you know, when the Dragons have been at their best over the last 10 years, have sort of played that style of footy. Good line speed, good sort of physical tacklers and big bodies. So, yeah, expecting it to be a physical game, to be fast. And like you said, you know, it doesn't matter how anyone's going when it comes to big occasions like this. It's sort of throw the tip sheet at the wall and all the best. So, man, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to get out there. And, yeah, it's going to be a big occasion. And, you know, the Dragons side are playing good footy as well, so it's going to be a good challenge for us.
Yeah, sure. Mate, we want to thank you so much. It's such a great insight. You know, we're not football experts. We don't want to try to be. We leave that to our sister show, Maddie Johns, and the rest of it. But we love getting to know behind, you know, the Roosters jersey, the real Connor Watson, and you really demonstrated that today. Also want to wish you the best. The way you've come back and played, you know, the fans are just loving the energy and throwing you into different positions, and we love seeing you at 6, we love seeing you at 9, 13, we don't care where you are as long as you're in the squad. So we wish you the best for Thursday.
Thank
and
you,
have
mate.
A great Anzac Day, and thanks so much for spending time on Roosters Radio.
Thanks, boys, appreciate it, eh?
Welcome back to Roosters Radio. And Paddy, how good is it having someone like Connor Watson, who just comes in? He's a huge supporter of us, has been since his debut in 2016, but he's just so easy to talk to.
Oh, he's just such a genuine person. You know, even when the mic's turned off, you can just, he hangs around, he has a chat. He's just a really good guy. And I think it's a reflection of Roosters and why we wanted to get him back here, to be honest.
Yeah. As a man, his stature compared to some of the other players. We had Lindsay in here that he just towers over. We walk past Nafahu White here at HQ, and they're just such big men. And you look at a guy like Connor, you know how athletic and strong he is, but there's not a lot of him, and he just plays with so much heart. So you really admire that too.
That's what it is, all heart. And I think that new style suits him, of that fast footy. You know, we've reduced the interchange, those six again calls. So as he mentioned in the interview, it gives room for those littler guys to kind of be impactful.
I think so, and I think the way he plays in and around a dummy half, and the speed he runs, you know, he runs with, and how he gets in there and just gets, you know, so many opportunities for us, and it's so much go forward. It keeps him guessing.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to him running out on Anzac Day. As he mentioned, he's only played the one. But for me, Bush, this is my favourite game of the year, unless Roosters are in the grand final, of course. I love it. I mean, the day itself is just such an amazing day. I think it's the greatest day on the Australian calendar. And I mean, for us to watch our team play each and every year, it's just an honour. So really looking forward to him running out. And I'm going to give a score prediction. It's always close. Roosters 16, Dragons 14.
Oh, wow, nice. Paddy, I want to reflect on that. I'm double your age, and I want to say this. It's so nice to hear that someone at 25 years of age is talking like that, because that's what our Anzacs fought for. I want to honour our men and women, Roosters, you know, family members, fans, anyone that's served this great nation of ours, past, present, and in the future, on this amazing day. It is the greatest day in our country, and we really, you know, love getting out to the footy and watching Roosters play the Dragons. So I'm going to give you a score prediction. It's Roosters 20, Dragons 18.
I like it. And I think I've been given the honours of Unibet of the week. So I'm going to split it in half. I'm going to go $25 on Roosters 1-6.
Yes.
And $25 on Semi Walker anytime try scorer. Cometh the man, cometh the hour. He's a big game player, old Semi. He's going to bring one out.
I love it. And you know what? He's such an unpredictable player. No one knows what he's going to do. Sometimes I don't think he knows what he's going to do.
That's right.
But he just waits to see what's in front of him, and he just gets us over the line. Welcome back, Sam Walker. Well done. Well, that's all we've got time for this week on Roosters Radio. We want to thank our special guest, Connor Watson. We want to thank our partners, Unibet, for our Bet of the Week. And, of course, don't forget to keep voting on the Nicky P's, the Nicky Politis Awards on Roosters Radio. As we say, Paddy, each and every week, East to win.
East know how to play the game. They play it hard and fair. East know how to win the game. They give more than their share. They're great to see in action. These boys will show the way.